Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to blogtalkradios.com, Church Lady Now. Today's teaching is Our God is Awesome. I am Brother Grant, and I welcome you to Church Lady Now. So thank you for joining us. We are a Christian Blog Talk Radio program. This program is designed to help us to know about God, the God we serve through Bible study. Over the last several weeks, we have looked at the self-descriptor, I am. We have learned that the description, I am, was originally given by God to Moses as a self-description. And later in the Gospel of John, Jesus describes himself as I am. This shows a clear spiritual parallel between the Old Testament and the New Testament, which serves as a great example of the Father and the Son being one. Now, in John chapter 10, verse 3, that is one of the last points. Because last week we taught on the seven I am of Jesus. We learned he is the bread of life. That's John 6, 35. Light of the world, John 8, 12. The door, John 10, 9. The good shepherd, John 10, 11 and 14. The resurrection and the life, John 1, 25. And the way and the truth and the life, John 14, verse 6. And this week, in our high holy holiday tribute, the Resurrection Sunday, which is Easter, we've decided to review the awesomeness of God. And before we begin today's teaching on Our God is an Awesome God, I want to tell you about Church Lady Ministry. The Church Lady Ministries has been around and broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com since 2013. And to date, we have more than 126 Spirit-filled Bible teachings available to you. You can go into our library at any time and listen to all of our past programs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are continually growing in our understanding and relationship with God. Therefore, we invite you to join us on this journey to know God. Now, to help you to access our most recent program, which was wonderful last week, we have placed Church Lady Now ads on our Facebook pages. And each ad contains a white arrow in the center of the ad. You click on the arrow, and that link will take you directly to the teaching on blogtalkradio.com. Or you can go to blogtalkradio.com, then enter Church Lady Now in the search box. Click enter, and you will be on the blogtalkradio.com page for Church Lady Now. Scroll down the page past the sponsor advertisements, and you will see all of our programs by date. You can go directly on the internet, put Church Lady Now in your browser box, and go directly to our Blog Talk Radio program channel. So, those of you who are visual learners, we also have some video teachings on clips at YouTube. That's youtube.com. And the teaching clips are from our former outreach at the Union Gospel Mission in Seattle. To find us on YouTube, in the search box you type Argus Oliver Church Lady and to access many lively video clips. Now the sound is a little loud because at the Seattle Union Gospel Mission, we are ministering to homeless people. So turn down the volume and enjoy our powerful teaching. Church Lady Ministries is a fully tax-exempt 501c ministry, which means that all donations to First Lady Ministries are tax deductible. And you can partner with us to help share the good news of the gospel and help the less fortunate at the same time. Now, our ministry, in brief, we do two things. We teach the Bible to all people, and we serve the less fortunate, which includes homeless people on the street, as well as men, women, and children in our homeless shelters, and women and children in domestic violence shelters and children in third world countries. So we do those things as part of our outreach. And Church Lady Ministries is a member in good standing with Grace Covenant Fellowship International. Now, our mission, we've been called to spread the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the Lord has anointed us to preach good tidings, to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and open the prison doors to those who are bound. And that's Isaiah 61:1. Now, for those of you that don't know the Church Lady, she is the Northwest's leading practical Bible teacher and an international evangelist with her prophetic anointing to help people develop their own relationship with Jesus Christ and to experience the Holy Spirit. We've done an entire series on the Holy Spirit. Now, Minister Artis Oliver, also known as the Church Lady, earned her master's degree in divinity from Covenant Bible Seminary in Lakewood, Washington. And in addition, she has traveled extensively internationally with Marilyn Hickey Ministries, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ in Africa, Russia, and Korea. Now, you can contact us at area code 253-472-6213, Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., or you can email us at churchladyministries@gmail.com. So today, we are going to hear about our awesome God. And with that, we're going to welcome the Church Lady. So now we have the Church Lady with Good Afternoon, Church Lady.
And good afternoon, Brother Grant. How you doing?
Wonderful.
I am so happy that you're wonderful today. Thanks for that awesome introduction. We appreciate everything that you do here at Church Lady Ministries. This ministry could not exist without my ministry partner. For those of you who don't know, Brother Grant is my ministry partner, and he calls himself the ministry hall and tote man. And that means that he kind of does a little bit of everything. And he is greatly, greatly appreciated. Thank you, Brother Grant. Well, good afternoon, listeners, and happy resurrection season. That is, happy Easter season to you. You know, we are covenant people, and the definition of covenant is an agreement. And it's usually formal, between two or more persons to do or not to do something specific. At the cross, God made a covenant with us. And this covenant was initiated by God. He said and is saying today, I will do this if you will do that. I will do this if you will do that. God's covenants are designed to be beneficial agreements between us and God. When we obey God, he always fulfills his promises. Our foundation scripture for today is found in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, verses 9 through 32. Excuse me, chapter 9, verse 32. Later we will be discussing other parts of chapter 9. But verse 32 is the foundation scripture, and it reads as follows. Now, therefore, our God, the great God, mighty and awesome, who keeps his covenant of love, do not let all these hardships seem trifling in your eyes, the hardship that has come on us, on our kings and our leaders, on our priests and our prophets, on our ancestors, and on all your people from the days of the kings of Assyria until today. Now here's the back story. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 32. The book of Nehemiah is attributed to Nehemiah. He was a cupbearer to the king Artaxerxes. He had a position of trust. His role was to keep the king from being poisoned. In the Hebrew scriptures, Nehemiah was included in the book of Ezra. He was considered a great man of God, and he was a leader. Nehemiah led a life of prayer and fasting. He repeated his prayers, and the one that he's well known for, the small prayer, but a powerful prayer. He said, "Remember me, Lord, for my good work." This is what he repeated. "Remember me, Lord, for my good work." Friends, can you and I say, "Remember me, Lord, for my good work"? Nehemiah teaches us the practical application of Christianity. He's very similar to James. Nehemiah teaches us that our relationship with God results in service to others. Remember me, Lord, for my good work. Remember me, Lord, for doing your work. Remember me, Lord, for doing your will. There are many covenants mentioned in the Bible, but the well-known is the New Covenant. God established a biblical covenant with Israel. God began to establish his covenant with the children of Israel through Moses. Moses, under God's guidance, brought Israel out of Egypt, brought Israel out of sin, and brought them into the promised land, the land with milk and honey. Now, it was during this process of establishing Israel as a nation that God himself offered a covenant to the people. And it was based upon his law, the Ten Commandments, that God had spoken from Mount Sinai. Israel heard the Ten Commandments, accepted what God had said they needed to do, and they agreed to it. But something went wrong. Israel consistently disobeyed God, his messengers, and his leaders. There was nothing wrong with the benefits of the law and the agreement that God had proposed to the people. There was nothing wrong with that. The people, however, failed to keep the covenant with God. Like you and I sometimes, we fail to keep the agreement with God. Israel, because human nature doesn't change, they fail. So God added a sacrificial system to teach man that sin doesn't pay and that it ultimately brings death. The people were taught that sin must be repented of and the penalty paid. And that was a key part of the promise that God had given to Abraham. Abraham, then Moses, the covenant carriers. Now, God gave Abraham a covenant. He promised that the Messiah, that Christ, the anointed one, would come. and that Christ would be a blessing to everyone, and that he would be the one who paid the final penalty for sin. But God knew that we were imperfect people. He knew that human nature would fail. And he knew that we might have good intentions, but the ability to fulfill those good intentions is not always with us. God prophesied through the prophets, Jeremiah and Ezekiel, that he would create in us and give us his spirit. So God is doing something new to help us to keep our part of the covenant agreement. God foretold through his prophets that he would create in us and give us his spirit and write his law on our hearts and minds. So the law of God went from the tablet to our hearts and our minds. That's Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 36. Christ's sacrifice and grace is the basis of the covenant, the basis of the new covenant, which is actually a renewed covenant. It's not a new covenant because God made the covenant with Abraham. And then he put it in writing with Moses. And then he renewed it with the people of Israel. And with us, God has written his laws on our hearts and in our minds. The essential change is not that God changed. The law didn't change. But where the law is written has changed. Having God's laws written on our hearts, in our minds through the Holy Spirit, gives us the power and the motivation that Israel lacked. Say that motivation. That's Hebrews 8, 7 through 13. We're talking about our God is an awesome God. He knew that we weren't going to get it right, so he made a way for us to be successful anyway. He made a way for us to be in right standing with him anyway. You know, the words testament and covenant sometimes are confused. Those two words don't mean the same thing. The word testament is defined as a written document by which a person bequeaths or allocates certain possessions to another. In modern language, New Covenant or New Testament, which sometimes are used interchangeably, to talk about God's relationship with us. The old covenant between God and the nation of Israel was not a testament or a will. It was an agreement by which the people of Israel covenanted with God to obey him. And on his part, God promised to give them beneficial, physical, and other national blessings. God promised the country to be blessed. Now notice, Exodus 19:5. It says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandments, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people." That's God saying that if we obey his voice and keep his covenant, that we will be a special treasure to him. Did you notice that there's an if in the covenant agreement? It says, if you will indeed. The people of Israel responded by saying they were willing to do all that God commanded them. Today, the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us, now therefore, if you are willing to obey the voice of God and to keep his commandments, then you shall be a special treasure to him. This covenant agreement was ratified in Exodus 24:4-8. And despite agreeing to the terms and conditions of the covenant, the people sadly did not fulfill their part, just like we sometimes don't fulfill our part. The people repeatedly disobeyed God and his laws. But the problem was not with God. It was with his covenant people. It was with people like you and I for any number of reasons. Missed the mark. It was the fault of the people that the covenant that God had made was not in full force. And they did not receive the blessing, not because God is not capable of blessing, but because the people were disobedient. They broke the promise. They broke the agreement with God. Now, our foundation scripture pertains to a time when people made a commitment and they broke it. And when they broke the commitment, hardship fell on the people. And when hardship fell on the people, they went back to God. They assembled. They prayed and they fasted, and then they separated themselves from the foreigners. They confessed their sins and their iniquities of their father. Then they stood and read the book of the law for one fourth of a day. And for the other fourth of the day, they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. According to the Benson commentary, they stood up and read in the book of the law. That is, the preachers stood up in the place that was built for them, and they read the law, interpreting so that the people could understand the covenant agreement. Now, one fourth of a day is 3 hours. For there were 12 hours in a day. So they began to read after the morning sacrifice, at which time people were present. People got up in the morning and went to sacrifice and went to prayer. And then they continued reading until the 6 hours, until midday. And then another fourth part of the day, maybe from midday to the time of evening, to the time of the evening sacrifice, they worshiped God. They confessed his mercy and their own sins. And this is expressed in Nehemiah 9:2. This day being chiefly set apart for the work of confession and worship. Partly by their acknowledgement and adoration of how wonderful God is and the mercy that they had received because they had been forgiven and saved from judgment, which they knew they deserved. So the people acknowledged the awesomeness of God. For 3 hours, they acknowledged the awesomeness of God. Now, we know that there were 12 hours in a day. That's John 11:9. And from that, we can deduct that the people spent a total of 6 hours in prayer and in fasting. And they gave worship to God. They acknowledged him. They adored him. They thanked him for his mercy. They thanked him that they had been delivered. They thanked him for his loving kindness, his long suffering, and his goodness. And the leadership was moved by the Holy Spirit. And as the leadership was moved, the people were moved, and they were moved into that place of mercy. Into that place of mercy and forgiveness. Where they received undeserved love. the kind of love that rescues. Our God is an awesome God. The people of Israel can be likened to us. We start doing the will of God and kind of slip into our own way. The cares of the world take over, and we may forget to be humble. We may forget to be thankful. We may forget to be grateful. Yet and still, our God is awesome and ready to pardon us. Instead of moving away from God when we feel unworthy, let us come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God is ready to pardon us. And therefore, we have access to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. That's Hebrews 4:16. Now, in summary, our God is awesome. He is the God of salvation. We are forgiven. Like the people of Israel, we must separate ourselves from foreigners, that is, from non-believers, for the purpose of fasting and prayer. And in prayer, we, like Israel, can say, "Now, therefore, our God, the great God, the mighty God, the awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love, do not let hardship, do not let our hardship seem trifling in your eyes. Later in chapter 9, after prayer and fasting, the people return to God. They return to the covenant. And they cry out, "Lord God, we are your servants. Lord God, we are your servants. And now you and I, we're in distress. But we can re-enter into the covenant. We can re-enter into that wonderful place. That wonderful place where God says that he will if we will." You see, God created us in his own image and his likeness for a purpose: to offer us eternal life as children in his family. It is only through the promises made to Abraham that salvation can come and we can be saved. We must repent and turn away from sin and accept Christ's sacrifice on our behalf. This renewed biblical covenant is based on the same law, but has the benefit to help us. We have the benefit of the Holy Spirit to help us with keeping our covenant. This new covenant supersedes the old covenant. And brings us to a point of evaluating our own lives in the light of God's word, which is holy, just, and good. Only in this way can we receive the promise of eternal life, which God has made possible for all mankind through Christ. Friends and family, it is our prayer that during the holy season, we all revisit the new covenant. I want to thank you for joining us today for Church Lady Now, and we wish you a blessed resurrection season. And now it's time to go back to Brother Grant for our closing prayer. Brother Grant?
Yes, Church Lady. And listeners, we want to grant you our perpetual prayer. And that is, the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." And that is in Numbers 6:24. So, amen. And you can visit us on our Facebook pages, which are Artist Oliver Face, Artist Oliver Church Lady, or Church Lady Ministries, where you can like us and follow us. and visit us frequently. You can also like and follow us on blogtalkradio.com. Or if you'd like to contact us, again, our email address is churchladyministries@gmail.com. So this is Brother Grant saying good evening, have a blessed Easter, and God bless you until we meet again next Wednesday at 5:30 Pacific time for Church Lady Now.
Thank you.